Welcome to the IoT Security Chats podcast, where we bring you the latest information in cyber and IoT security. From asset and vulnerability management to incident response, hear the experts talk about the latest threats affecting connected devices and how to keep your organization safe.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Jeremy Linden. I am Senior Director of Product Management here at Assimile, and I'm really happy to welcome you to our podcast series. Today, we're talking about procurement challenges in the healthcare industry and about how healthcare organizations can best include cybersecurity considerations during the procurement process. I'm really happy to be joined today by Greg Scott, Vice President of Information Technology at Renovo Solutions. Greg has over 15 years of healthcare technology management experience. Starting out as a biomedical equipment technician, he specialized in electrophysiology support, radiation oncology systems, video integration, and biomedical device interfacing. Greg has an associate's degree in biomedical information systems and technology and a bachelor's degree in computer information technology. Leveraging IT skills, Greg was a key part of early medical device EMR integration projects, event management systems, and PAC support. Before joining Renovo Solutions, Greg helped architect the virtual infrastructure and operations team responsible for hosting and supporting many key clinical systems at a large healthcare organization. In his time with Renovo, he has worked with technicians and leadership to redefine medical equipment management and reduce risks to patients from cybersecurity threats nationwide. Welcome, Greg. Very happy to have you.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
So first, let's start out by kind of setting the stage a little bit. Why should healthcare providers be considering cybersecurity during the procurement process?
So great question. And I think it's really critical that organizations understand what risk they're getting before they get into it, you know, what to expect when purchasing new technology so they can manage the risk or prepare for maybe unknown costs to mitigate that those risks once they come in. You know, I think often organizations, they want to trust vendors are using the latest technology and, you know, these things are actually going to solve problems for them. And I've seen technology staff that have not been in healthcare for a long time, and they're just blown away by the technology that these vendors are using, or things that, you know, it's brand new, but it's using a operating system that's already been outdated for a long time. And so, you know, I think we have to get away from that. There shouldn't be surprises when we're purchasing medical equipment. So, there's a big push for the latest and greatest, you know, from a security standpoint. You know, we're trying to get away from XP, go to Windows 10. And sometimes that isn't the best path forward, really. You know, you think you're trying to reduce the risk by getting the latest, and you don't know that you may be actually introducing new risks that you weren't prepared for or haven't been documented yet. And so I think it's key that we look at the procurement process, get in front of that up front, and start looking at what's coming into the organization before it gets there.
Totally agree with that. And that kind of brings me to my next question, which is, you know, understanding all those concerns, a lot of healthcare organizations really are trying to get ahead of this problem, but they're implementing these kinds of processes in a very manual way. Having human beings review manufacturer disclosure, such as the MDS2s and SBOMs. And in the end, this often just ends up becoming nothing more than just a box checking exercise and really just frustrating all the parties that are involved. How do you think organizations should watch for these kinds of what I would call anti-patterns while building out their processes and ensuring that organizations are actually getting actionable insights from what they're building?
Yeah, so, you know, I've seen this as well. Organizations, they'll create a an intake form or an assessment form or a technology form. And I mean, that's how the MDS2 form started. That was really the intent there. Let's standardize this process so we get the information out there. And then now we build on that and there's been revisions. And I think ultimately what we end up with is it's a reaction to the, we didn't know we were going to get this, or if only we had knew before we bought that this thing ran on Windows XP. And yeah, that's true. But I think what the organization really needs to just do is decide, what do they want to do? What are they going to do with the data? Do they have a plan? Or are we just checking the box? Because yeah, you start getting all these forms. Well, now somebody has to actually analyze it. What does it mean? What does this information mean to the organization? Do we accept the fact that it runs on this particular software or it has this particular port open, and who's really equipped to make those decisions? And so we need to start with the goals. Are we going to do more research? Do we push back on the vendors? Does leadership really understand their role in this? You know, a lot of times cybersecurity becomes kind of the villain here because, you know, we get these forms, we get this data, and they're like, there's no way we can purchase this. But there's huge clinical pressure to get the new equipment for whether it's a procedure or, you know, it's a support issue or whatever the case may be. And if it is truly a risk to the organization, then leadership has to be able to take the stance that no, the clinical use is secondary in this case because this could impact a greater part of our organization. So really this takes a village to both define the goals, define what they're willing to accept, what that acceptance criteria is, and then what they're going to do with it. So I think all that needs to really be planned out up front before we just go collecting data and essentially creating more work for people only to find out, well, nothing changed. We bought it anyway, or we didn't do anything with it. So definitely take the time now and start planning out, you know, how you want to handle your medical device procurement process.
And that brings me to Assimile ProSecure, which is our product for supply chain teams to understand the cybersecurity risk that a new device might actually pose. Using ProSecure, you can look up any device model and version, and you'll see all the information that we have about how it behaves in the network, what risk it poses, and what the lowest and highest risk configurations that we've actually seen are. And we crowdsource these data from real-world deployments of Assimile in the field, ensuring that you're always getting, you know, up-to-date quality information that you can actually use to make a decision. And Greg, as our partner, you work with healthcare organizations to operationalize our products. How would you generally recommend that organizations make use of the data provided by ProSecure during the procurement process?
Yeah, so I think it kind of goes back to having that team to be able to look at that data and be able to provide really the decision-making information that leadership needs. When it comes down to the technical path, if you will, the actual roadmap is built into the report. Again, by crowdsourcing that data, you can see, you know, this was the worst case scenario. This is maybe how we would have bought it if we don't change anything, to the best case scenario. You know, here's what other hospitals are doing. So having that information really kind of creates a technical path, and it really equips the staff to be able to say, look, maybe this thing's not the most secure device up front, but we're confident that we can secure it using these things because we've seen others do it. Without that, you're just kind of shooting in the dark and you end up with a lot of questions for the vendor. Okay, well, can we do this? Can we do this? And so Assimile is really taking out the hard part of that work. And I'm really excited to be able to offer this to our customers because now they can come to us with questions. Hey, you know, what do you guys think about this device, this new thing we're considering? We can run the reports and we can actually really show them what it's going to look like in their organization, maybe get in front of some things that they may need to do to make sure it gets implemented securely. And, you know, we've seen great results from this already. You know, we recently worked with a vendor that did an upgrade to the system, and we looked at the system ahead of time and we were able to say, you know, we know this is going to come in with these ports exposed. By virtue of how we're going to use the system, these ports don't need to be enabled. You, vendor, can you lock these down? Can you turn this off when you do the install? So that reduced the staff labor required. You know, our HDM staff didn't need to do anything. The IT staff didn't need to do anything extra. You know, basically we took the out-of-the-box configuration and the vendor was able to make it more secure for the organization just by virtue of knowing, hey, we know we can turn these things off. So, you know, all of those things add up, and I think it hugely impacts really the efficiency of the department, but also our ability to secure the equipment. So, you know, getting this information in the right hands or, you know, the right staff allows them to make the right decisions and allows leadership to drive things where they need to go.
That makes sense. So this is an issue that you kind of mentioned earlier around sort of clinical engineering concerns and IT or cybersecurity concerns. What do you think the right way is for healthcare providers to balance those two considerations together along with other factors during the procurement process, right? Obviously, you know, you can't expect IT or cybersecurity risks to always take precedence, but also you don't want to ignore it either.
Yeah, so this is a key process that kind of goes back to both defining risk for the organization, what they accept, but also understanding the clinical workflow. So HTM's in a unique spot where, you know, it's easy for them to work with the clinical staff and understand what the patient implications are, because we don't want to be in a situation where we're compromising patient safety due to downtime for patching or interoperability because of some kind of security type control. So, you know, this is a compromise. You know, security in general is a compromise. We're never going to, you know, be able to fully secure the devices and make it easy to use. So I think really the recommendation here is have your teams work together. You know, you can't do this in a silo. There's got to be a good working relationship between IT security, the clinical staff, the HTM staff, because really they all have the same goals. They all want good patient outcomes. There's just different priorities and focuses depending on where they're coming from. So I think that can be reached. The ProSecure data really helps us get there by kind of putting in a technical view for us technical staff. And by converting that into the workflow for the clinical staff, we can really hopefully make those compromises, make the right balance between safety and security.
So going back to ProSecure, you know, a lot of customers are leveraging that intelligence during the procurement process, as we talked about before, but we are also seeing other customers using it to make decisions around whether and how to connect standalone devices that aren't currently online, but they have the capability to be. And the hospital is wondering, should we leave these offline or should we turn the connected capability on to get some of those benefits that hospitals, you know, get from having everything connected and visible in a platform. How do you think healthcare providers should be thinking about those decisions?
So I don't think there's a single answer here. You know, I think it really comes down to what is the healthcare organization trying to achieve with that device? You know, we saw this a lot with the early adoption of interoperability, the big push with EMRs. And, you know, being involved in that space, I was able to see kind of a negative side. We had equipment that didn't always play well with interoperability or different middleware, because it was never truly designed with that kind of robustness in mind. So before security ever became a consideration, we had actual, you know, potential events just due to the interoperability. So when you introduce security, there's a lot of things that, you know, they could be placed directly on the network, but now you have a huge risk to the organization. And I think you have to look at that and say, is it worth that risk? You know, if this one device could be compromised and then take out the organization, now you've done a huge disservice. Yeah, you gained a few minutes here on this interface, but maybe you wiped out the organization for a month because of ransomware. And that's a realistic thing that could happen. And so I think you really kind of you need the right information to determine, you know, how risky is connecting this. You need the information to say, what are we gaining from connecting this? You know, there's some equipment that's naturally not secured from a patient data perspective, data privacy perspective, but the gains on the interoperability, the gains on the staffing side are huge, you know, whether it comes to timely data or more accurate diagnosis because the information gets into the system faster. You know, those things are worth the compromise of having maybe an insecure device kind of floating around, where patient data may be accessible, because we're you know, you're saving more than you're losing there. But like I said, there is no one size fits all. Each system, I think, really has to be analyzed one at a time. And you know, again, it's key to have the right information because, you know, these are tough decisions to make, and without the right information, without the right people in the room, there you may end up making the wrong decision.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, we definitely know that there's no silver bullet, and there's no one size fits all solution, because every organization is unique and their needs are unique. Finally, one aspect of ProSecure that we see our customers getting a lot of value out of is the use of some of that crowdsourced configuration data I was talking about earlier to create hardening guides for these devices on the network. Basically, you know, telling them, okay, here's how you can configure this to make it the most secure possible. How do you recommend that healthcare organizations use this to improve their security posture?
Yeah, so I think this creates a great task list for anybody working on, you know, securing these devices, because, you know, without this information, you know, I've been down this path myself. You have a device, first you figure out what's wrong with it, then you find out, okay, what can I do to fix these things? And usually that involves either researching, a lot of internet research, maybe vendor research, trying to get a hold of the right person in engineering. And they may not always know the answer, or they may not be in a position where they can recommend the right thing. And so, you know, a lot of times we see vendors say, you know, from a patient safety perspective, this device functions properly. It's not at risk. We have no recommendation. We're not going to change our configuration or our posture because of patient safety. And they're not looking at the potential threat to the organization from a networking perspective, or a ransomware, or a place that an attacker could pivot. And so, by looking at the crowdsource information, some of that hardening guides, it cuts through a lot of that time, the effort, the labor, and really does all the hard work for us. So we can see, okay, boom, here's what we need to do to harden this device. I don't need to make phone calls. I don't need to chase down leads and do research. I can take a look at the information, go to the device, implement the configuration recommendations, done. Now I've moved the needle. I've reduced the risk of the device, which is really why, you know, we're here in the first place. You know, circling back to the beginning, you know, we talked about all this data. You know, we're in an age of data, collecting all this information. But what we really need is insights, and these, by looking at these hardening guides, that really provides the insights we need to move that needle and ultimately secure these devices.
Oh, I think that's a great note to end on. So Greg, thank you for joining us. I hope everyone else found the conversation as informative as I did. And if you want to learn more about Assimile, you can visit our website or shoot us an email at info@assimile.com. Thank you, and until next time.